Hello, assalamu alaikum everybody. Hope you're all safe, sound and healthy, and Eid Mubarak once again. Well, for many of us, Eid basically ended yesterday. Yesterday was the third day, but for those who started a day later, today is the third day, so Eid is still ongoing. And well, this time, right, the very last 2 days of Ramzan is when the weather changed and sort of heated up, but it was still, you know, bardashtable, you know, it was still very bearable, and it was, you know, it passed quickly, thankfully. And the Eid day itself was a bit warm, but it was a pleasant day. But after that, you know, it's been, you know, cloudy and raining, and you know, so cool air and breeze, and even now it is so dark, seriously, it's so dark that I'm obliged to consider turning on the lights because it's cloudy and it's been raining off and on, but it hasn't rained for quite a while now, since morning I think, so it's probably going to rain again the way it's getting darker and darker. So yeah, the weather is lovely, it's pleasant, it's always an amazing weather during Eid. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed it, but whenever it's Eid, you know, the weather changes. This was the first Eid where the first day the weather was still warm, but as we could see, the weather changed pretty much on the second day, the later half of second day. In fact, no, the second half of second day. Well, anyway, point being, I think now I can actually do a bit of a podcast, keeping in mind everything that's going on. People are probably wondering why is it that I haven't yet commented on, you know, the strife, I would call it, between Punjab police and the army. Well, I mean, you know, everybody is extremely happy with what happened to the police, but everybody, I'm glad to see, is of the same opinion as I am, that soon the army is next. Yes, Pakistan army, you're next, you know, because that's how it always happens. You ordered and used and abused the Punjab police. You used them against the citizens, you used them against the people, against the civilians, you used them against the judges, you used them against the lawyers, you used them against other civil servants that were turning against you. You use them against PTI, which basically means you use them against the whole country, you know, at the whole province of Punjab in this case. And then suddenly, you know, when it was your turn, when the police now turned to try and investigate one of your own, in the same way that you've taught them to do, which is just barging into people's homes without a warrant and, you know, being rude to the females and the family and stuff. So, but because it was one of your own, so suddenly now you had to go and send 3-4 platoons of yours to beat them up. But again, let me remind you, now your own bosses, who are the Americans, now it's their turn to kick you down. You kicked your subordinates down. Now, karma is after you now, you know. Now it's your turn, bitch, in other words. So yeah, I'm just waiting. In fact, everybody's waiting now for what's going to happen to the Pakistani army. It's their turn to be kicked down to the curb, and very badly. Because remember, I've kept on saying it, you are nothing more than hunting dogs. When the hunt is over, the dog gets killed. I've said it like a bazillion times. I don't even know how to say it. And yeah, what is this thing about you still insisting on calling yourself state? You crazy? How many times do I have to educate you on the definition of state? The army is not the state. The establishment is not the state. The people are the state. We are the state. You are servants of the state. Remember that. You are our servants. Which means you are a department of the government. Okay. The Punjab police is not the only department of the government. You are also a department of the government. Your duty is to take care of our security, to secure our boundaries, which you failed to do so. You betrayed us. You've become traitors, in which case you need to be slaughtered. You know, there's no other way to deal with traitors but death. and there is no treason like treason against the people of a country. And the army has long committed treason. Okay, right from day one, they committed treason against the founder of this country. Then they committed treason against his sister, Fatma Jinnah. And then they again committed treason when they killed off Bhutto. Then they again committed treason when they ousted Imran Khan. And they're still committing treason. So, I mean, how long do you think you're going to survive? I don't know. Everybody is practically amazed at the stupidity, the immense stupidity of the Pakistani army, the Pakistani establishment, the Pakistani police force, and the politicians who, well, at the end of the day, the politicians are just here to eat us dry. You know, they'll just take everything. And then once again, they have their escape routes matched already and mapped even. And they're just going to go, you know. Just like how Bajwa fled, like how, you know, Musharraf, when it was his time, he fled. Nawaz Sharif is always running out of the country. Zardari is always fleeing the country. So Maryam Nawaz is also always running away. They are always here. These are just beggars and thieves, you know. They're just here to steal, and then they're going to run away. And we are left to pick up the pieces every single time. So yeah, that's all I have to say. I think that whatever it is the case, I don't care. The police deserved it. This is something that I've been saying to the police as well. Whatever you're doing to us, it will happen to you. And as I said, I'm an eye for an eye kind of a person. I hope it happens to you. I hope it happens to the army's women and children. I hope it happens to the army's families. I hope it happens to the police families. I hope it happens to all the judges who are committing treason right now. I hope it happens to their families. I hope it happens to all the politicians and their families. Every single person that has committed treason against us, and the way they've committed that treason against us, I hope it all goes right back to you. And amen to that, bitches. Now, that being over, that being said, there is this huge demand, obviously, for the release of Imran Khan. There has been a political strategy, once again, a very old strategy that is basically taken from the British of divide and rule. It was taken and implemented heavily by Ziaul Haq, where based on ethnicity, he tried to divide the country, and he kept the country divided on that basis for a very long time. The country actually, for the first time in history, once again united under Imran Khan. And now, again, it is very, very obvious that a strife was again tried to be created by, once again, this ethnic killing of a Punjabi, allegedly by the Balochis. Because there's a history of Balochis attacking, targeting and killing Punjabis in Balochistan, which obviously made, it resulted in a huge movement of Punjabis out of Balochistan and back into Punjab and other places. So on one side, if the Punjabis, on one side, actually, if the Balochis are right now fighting for Imran Khan, they're fighting right now for nationalism for once, for the first time, they're fighting for the country. This is why everybody is actually going to take their side. Nobody has any qualms about taking their side. And this is why actually this they were hit, they were struck right there in the nerve by creating this incident. You know, to me, this is a very obvious incident. I don't think any Balochi just decided to off a Punjabi. And this was a Punjabi who was basically one of the many Pakistanis who were trying to leave Pakistan, basically. And one of the popular routes of leaving Pakistan is from Balochistan to Iran and then from Iran onwards ahead. So, yeah. So he was one of those who was basically just scrambling to leave the country to get out of this hellhole. So the fact that, you know, he was just one of the people who were chosen, targeted and killed. Yeah, this is very, very obviously a political ploy You can see that your politicians are behind it. You can see that your army is behind it. You can see that your establishment is behind it. Because as I said, this is something that the army has used. The army has basically banked on division. And that is something they learned from their masters, the British. So, yeah, it was an obvious ploy here. But obviously, it doesn't matter how obvious. It's just like how, you know, when they try to create problems and obstacles for Imran Khan, even before he was elected, one of the many incidents, if you remember, were once again inciting and provoking anti-Ahmadi sentiments. They started targeting Ahmadis and all, because Ahmadis were also one of the staunch supporters of Imran Khan, because Imran Khan didn't believe in all that. Like Qaid Azam, Imran Khan did not believe in dividing people based on their sects or their religion or whatever. Because in Islam, you're not allowed to do that in the first place. So that very obvious ploy of attacking Ahmadis, you know. And then once again, when America was trying to target Pakistan, to force Pakistan to be a part of its 9/11 charade, which you can see that 9/11 was all about what is going on right now in Palestine, you know, crippling the Muslim Ummah so that they can fully attack Palestine without any interruption. And you can see that this is something I said eons ago, and you can see it right now today happening. I think that right now,
So America basically utilized, creating a strife between Shia Sunni, which they tried to do even in Syria, and they've tried to do it in Iraq, and they've tried it in Pakistan many times. But obviously, the people, you need to remember and you need to know that people don't care. At the end of the day, when it boils down to daily life, regular people, nobody cares about anybody's religion or anybody's sect or anybody's tribe or anybody's title or whatever it is. You know, people are just too busy living their lives with communicating with each other as regular human beings do. So these things don't enter into the mix. Whenever these things enter into the mix, it's very, very obvious, it's very, very understood that it's a political ploy. So America has utilized this ploy 1,000 times, very unsuccessfully, I might add, in Pakistan. So yeah, creating that Shia-Sunni division, and now then after that, targeting Ahmadis, and now, you know, creating this ethnic strife between the Balochis and Punjabis. Yeah, it's not going to fly, seriously, because it's too old a ploy to work, and people just can't be bothered by it. But yes, I mean, it is a fact that when you start targeting people, even if they know, and even when they know that it is a political ploy, that doesn't mean that they still won't feel emotional. And that is what politicians and army and, you know, traitors basically bank on. That is what America banks on. Even if they do know that it's political, even if they do know that it's deliberate, even if they do know that it's a conspiracy, you know, but emotions are not controlled. People can still be emotional. They will still, because a person whose family member has been attacked, they will not care that this is a conspiracy. They will not care that it's political. All they care about is that their family has been attacked. A member of their family has been attacked. So, you know, that is what basically politicians, establishments, armies, they thrive on. So this is where we are at, you know, and we know that Imran Khan and Shah Mahmood Qureshi were banned from offering prayers. Now, that's another thing I don't understand. What is going to happen if they offer prayers? You do realize that as a Muslim, banning another Muslim from offering Eid prayers is a sin. Like this huge sin that you've just committed on top of all the other sins and crimes. This is a crime and it's a sin. Banning somebody from exercising their right to worship, you know, and that even, you know, it's a prayer that is basically a sort of an, you know, it's part of your obligatory rituals. you know, offering the Eid prayer. It's part of your obligation as a Muslim. So who are they to ban them? You know, they're not God. You're not God. You cannot interfere with somebody's divine duties. The fact that they acted like such a Jew, you know, they acted like such a Zionist. I mean, again, that I would say that if our army by its very acts does not prove to you that they are hired fifth columnists of the Nazis and the Zionists, I don't know what does. It is so Jewish of them, seriously. It is so Jewish of them. They did not even allow, for the first time in the history of Pakistan, your government is not allowing you to stage a protest against Israel. What does that tell you? They're always talking about how Imran Khan is a, you know, part of the Jewish lobby, and Imran Khan is, you know, because his in-laws were Jews and this and that. But who is really the Jewish puppet or the Jewish slave? Whose religion really comes into question here? We will question the religion of our army, we'll question the religion of our police, we'll question the religion of our politicians. And then, you know, because to us, they're the Jews, they're the Zionists, you know, they're the Israeli puppets here, they're the dogs. It's as clear as day. And this is all I have to say for all the things that are happening. We are all working hard towards getting Pakistan out of the, you know, the grip of the Zionists and the Nazis. And obviously it's going to be slow because, as I've said it before, you know, staging protests every day on a daily basis, you know, in the northern areas and then in Punjab and then into, no, this is not going to help. What is, you know, what actually will help? First of all, just creating a sort of a mob revolution. You know, as I've said it before, everybody needs to get out. Everybody needs to lock down the country. We need to drag these people out and kill them. It's as simple as that. And before I really start swearing at those people who are ruining my podcast by screaming at the top of their voices in the background, this is me signing out. Khuda Hafiz.